Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this February 4th, Sunday, 2024. And tonight, the title of this message is The Bible or the Internet. Which one receives most of your attention? Well, it's a little bit of a controversial subject here tonight. And so we're going to take a look at the two of them, the Bible and the Internet, and compare them and see which one is more profitable for you in the long run. And so we know that the Bible is replete with indisputable truths. The Internet, on the other hand, it's like the old saying goes, it's kind of like a dog's breakfast. It's got a little bit of everything in there. And we're going to start tonight in Proverbs 29, verses 10, or 2, 10, and 16. And so here we go. Proverbs 29. He that often reproveth, harden his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. When the wicked are multiplied, transgressions increase, but the righteous shall see their fall. Now, here, if we just look at that again, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. I was listening to this morning, and actually it was last night's news, and they were interviewing a number of black men, young black men in Chicago. And these black men now were supporting Donald Trump. And they were being, the mainstream media couldn't believe this. Why would you? You're black. Why are you supporting Donald Trump? And their answer was, when Trump was in office, we had money. Now we don't. And what about, I would have gone with much more to the moral side of it, you know. Trump was very pro-life. The Bible says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Biden is an extremely sinful man, okay? Trump is much more moral where it comes to, he's a family man. He believes in God and country and family. Biden, by the admission of his own children as a pedophile. He's a wicked one. He's pro-abortion. If it's a sin, he promotes sodomy. He promotes drag queens. If it's a sin, he's a very, very wicked man. And I've heard of many of people who are Catholics say that man is no more Catholic than the man in the moon. Many people, because of him and the Pope and others, are leaving the Catholic Church because of that. Now here, when we take a look at this, when it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Well, it's not hard to, if you take a look at all of these cities that have Democratic mayors and city councils. Look at Cleveland. Look at Chicago. Look at Detroit. Look at New York. Look at San Francisco. Look at Los Angeles. Look at New Orleans, Portland, Oregon, Seattle. All of these, the people mourn. And all of them, the people mourn. I know, because I hear from people on all of these on a regular basis, folks. And why? Because of high crime. Because of such high crime in there. Because of the riots and the corrupt DAs. Those are George Soros bought and paid for DAs. And the corrupt courts. And today the ACLU is running all these ads on television trying to raise funds. What? Their main goal, their number one issue for the ACLU now is legalizing pedophilia. They want to legalize pedophilia and prostitution. They're a corrupt reprobate, a very corrupt and a very reprobate organization. If someone was to tell me, well, yeah, I donate to the ACLU, I would ask him, are you willing to repent of that? To repent of that and never do it again. And if they say no, I would say, look, I don't ever want anything more to do with you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for the Lord will bring you to repentance, but I don't want anything more to do with you. Because that's they are reprobate. The Bible says, like you have no fellowship with darkness. None. And here, those corrupt courts in which they promote every kind of, well, they're so corrupt today. And you have here, they permit pedophiles, thieves, abortionists, whores, prostitutes, carjackers, gangbangers, drug dealers, sodomites, drag queens. Again, this is what's happening in these big cities that are all run by Democrats, by wicked men. Again, they embrace everything that's called sin. They're disgusting and corrupt. And here I look at some of these disgusting, corrupt prosecutors. Here we have a number of heroes of the faith out there that in Tennessee that they just were found guilty with a jury without one Christian on that jury in Tennessee. I know there couldn't have been a Christian, because if there had been a real Christian, they would have held out and said, no, there's no way in the world that I could find these people guilty. You see, because Christians, and boy, shame on if any of those on that jury out there in Tennessee that found these heroes of the faith guilty, if any one of them should hear this and decide to call me, I would love to talk to you. Because there couldn't have been a Christian. No, there could not have been a Christian. Christians obey God. Christians obey God and not corrupt men. And you have people, Chester Gallagher, 73, Heather Hidoni, 58. Calvin Zestro. Cal Zestro and his family stayed with me back in the days when Biden are not Biden, Obama. When his wicked regime, we had 70 people stay with us at our place. 70 people we had. We happened to have one of the rental properties was empty, so, and it had 4 bedrooms. We put families in there. We used a pavilion, but we had 70 people staying with us. And so, and they went out, and they went to the corners. They did pro-life activity here for a week, for a solid week. But these are decent people. Cal Zastro was one of those. Caroline Davis, 24. Coleman Boyd, 51. Dennis Green, 56. Paul Vaughn. Okay, their crime? What was their crime? These people were praying in front of a bloody whorehouse of death. They call it clinics. They murder children there. You've got the most disgusting, the most vile people, the most disgusting and the most vile people that work at these whorehouses of death they call clinics, where they dismember little children. They say, God's word, the Bible said this is evil. God's word says that every one of those people that do that deserve to die and go to hell. That's what God has said. See, I'm one of those preachers that, listen, folks, that actually believe the Word of God. That's right. I actually believe the Word of God, and I actually preach the Word of God. And people say, well, I had a Presbyterian preacher say to me one time, you know what, I agree with everything he's saying. I really do. But it takes a lot more guts than I've got to do that. Shame on you. Shame on you. The righteous are as bold as lions. Look, when it comes to, and I want to say, if Henry Leventis is listening out there, if Henry Leventis is listening, he was the federal U.S. attorney in this case. I hope that you're proud of yourself. I know that I am ashamed of you. I'm very, very ashamed of you. You're a lesser person. Not one of these people that I just read the names of these people. You're not worthy to even dissociate with those people. These people were out being obedient, saving God, and you are a wicked, cowardly man who want to prosecute people that are doing the Lord's work. Decent people, good people. People that put innocent little children before themselves. And you, you wicked little man, you want to send them to prison for 10 years, Henry Leventis. Shame on you. So, here again, when we take a look at this, the Bible is the Word of God, without compromise, no stuttering. What you just got. The Internet, well, there's some pro-life stuff on there, but more likely than not, they've been censored. A lot of the pro-life programs and pro-life articles have been censored down off the Internet. I want to turn now over to Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 9 through 11. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Well, here, folks, just as there is no end of space, there is no end of God's knowledge. Folks, listen. He's making a point that since there is no end, it can't even be measured, that God's ways are so much higher than man's ways that it can't even be measured. And then here he says, the rain cometh down. Here is a beautiful anticipation and spiritual application of science, hydrological cycle, folks. The rain and the snow, well, they fall from the heavens, and eventually they return there. But not until they have done their providential work of watering the earth to provide and renew the world's food supply. So what does that mean? Well, the analogy is God's word goes forth from heaven, and it yet is forever settled there, returning after it is accomplished God's work on earth. In fact, I want to take you over here just for a minute. I want to jump over here to 119th Psalm, verse 89. Here he says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, this powerful verse stresses the eternal origin and eternal duration of God's word. Begins, and this verse here begins the second half. It's right dead in the middle of 119th Psalm. And so here, we see that God's word is far, far superior to the internet in every way. Here, we have seen the internet used for child sex porn. We've seen the internet used for election fraud. You know, I want to say that God's word always, always accomplishes good. The internet, in a way, is kind of like fire or like the root of all evil, like money. It has no intrinsic value. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil, like the dark web. And, well, you can find articles on there. A lot of people depend on the internet for their work, for their job. They couldn't accomplish it. And it again, has no intrinsic value. For example, money. Money can be used for good or it can be used for evil. Fire. Fire can be used for good or for evil. Water. Water can be used for good or for evil. There's a lot of things that they can. But in the internet, but with the Bible can only be used for good. And that's why God's word is so far superior. Now, we've seen the internet used for child sex porn. Whoa, we've really seen it used, too, for a lot of election fraud. Boy, have we seen it used for election fraud. We've seen it used for human trafficking and the dark web where people are actually sacrificed and it's filmed. We've seen the internet used to promote the kill shot, what they call a vaccine. We've seen the internet is being used to recruit sodomites for the military. And today, they're wondering in the military why they have such a hard time getting young white men to join. It's because they've seen how they've been discriminated against. They've seen what Millie and Austin and others have done out there, so the young white men don't want to join. And listen, today, I would never encourage anyone to join the military today. What is Austin going to do? Is he going to send a bunch of drag queens over? I mean, look, folks, it's gotten really bad. Our military is very weak. It's very weak. They're out there trying to put on a show. The morale is not good because of who we have, and this is why they're running it. It's a horrible thing. The Secretary of Defense, remember, his goal was to give transgenders special treatment His goal was to allow transgenders on a military basis for USO shows. Remember the ads that the recruiting ads they ran that made me sick? Then I want to go over to Psalm 12. And in Psalm 12, we read this. But before I go there, I gotta wet my whistle again. In Psalms 12, verses 6 through 8, the words of the Lord are pure as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. Here, that phrase tried in a furnace is often used to describe the persecution of the saints. Well, like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they had stepped into the furnace. But here, the words of the Lord are pure words. And by the way, silver that's tried seven times is as pure as it gets. And that's why they use that term. And here, he goes on to say, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, folks, here, God had promised that he would guard his pure words forever. Here, someday, there will be no more internet. But even though heaven and earth will pass, as Jesus said, but his words will never pass away. And so, and you say, what do you mean there'll be no internet? That's right, folks. There's going to be a time that there will no longer be an internet. After the tribulation period into the millennial kingdom, there'll be no need for an internet. Believe me. When he says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever, forever. One of the things that been very controversial that we have to, every now and then we have to deal with situations as a pastor. We have people that'll pick up some strange teachings, and usually they find them on the internet, and they'll bring them to the church. And one of that is recently that the King James Bible had been rewritten. And again, you had all these statements that Jesus was not a Jew, Israel was never a nation. And folks, again, this stuff is, they're pulling this stuff down off the internet. But here now, God says that he has the power to do exactly what he says. That his word will never returns void, accomplish what he says, and he says he'll guard it. Now, folks, let me ask you this. This King James Bible we have is so superior in so many ways. It's just, you know, the genius of this. Do you think God would spend so much time letting 56 of the world's greatest Bible scholars spend so much time putting this book together to allow it to be changed that we would not get the Word of God the way he said he would? He would bring us his Word. He would give it to us, his pure words. And there are those out there who say, no, he wasn't able to do that. I got news for him. He did do it. We have it right here in front of us. Now, a lot of them are saying that what I'm preaching tonight is hate speech. When I preach how wicked abortion is, when the Bible teaches that those people that kill little babies deserve to die and go to hell. And so that's what God's Word, the Bible says, teaches. But the opposition out there, they call that hate speech. Well, let me tell you, the truth is hate to those that hate the truth. That's right. The truth is hate to those that hate the truth. Here, you had dedicated scribes and scholars have meticulously over the year preserved God's word from generation to generation. And now you have these people out there referring to it as hate speech. It says this: the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Just recently, Mark Zuckerberg, who spent billions of dollars over the internet to steal the 2020 election from us, I saw those numbers flip on the night of the election. I saw those numbers right around midnight. They just flipped upside down. Trump was way ahead. They did it right. It's like in your face. Did you just see what we just did? But we're going to deny that. We're going to deny that. We're going to deny what you just saw. Now, we just recently, about a week or so ago, we reported on in the courtroom where people from Tudor Vote were telling the point, were making a point on how easy it was. Now, this happened back a couple of years ago, right at that election, and this guy went in, for Tudor Vote, went into the courtroom, and he was telling them how easy it is with this Dominion and these computers to flip that, to flip the account. And the judge wanted an example. He said, here, I'll show you. And he did it right there in the courtroom on a big screen in a couple minutes. He showed him how easy it was. But you know what? They had that, they got an injunction. They had that information sealed because you people were not supposed to know that. You were not supposed to know that. You hear that, Brett Baer? When Brett Baer, when he said, where and Sandra Smith and Neil Cabuto? These people were supposed to be, well, fair and balanced? No, Brett, you weren't fair and balanced by a long shot. And so here, again, it's another demonstration. The Bible does not deceive. The Bible doesn't fix elections. The Word of God is pure, folks. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them, folks, from generation to the generation. But the internet, like I said, it has no intrinsic value. It could be used for good, it could be used for evil. Now, one thing about God's word is this: when the opposition comes against it with distortion, with perversion, with variant oppositions, with literary criticism, every time they attack the Word of God, King James Bible, it's just like when all the communists are attacking Donald Trump. The more they attack, the more the corrupt courts attack him, the more NBC, ABC, and CBS attack him, the higher he goes up in the polls. And the same thing with the Bible. The more that this King James Bible is attacked, folks, here, the more that God's Word emerges brighter and surer than ever. Again, it says, when the wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. Mark Zuckerberg had to stand up just last week in a senatorial hearing, and he had to turn around and he had to apologize to the parents who were standing behind him, those that had lost their children because of the internet. But as bad as Zuckerberg was, the guy standing next to him was much worse. He was the Chinese guy from TikTok, which has done a lot more damage than even Facebook. Now, the Bible defines what manner of persons we are. With an absolute perfect understanding of all of creation, my infallible creator. The Bible defines the righteous and the wicked, the obedient and the rebellious. The Bible defines an honorable man and a chaste and chaste and modest woman. The Bible defines the pastors that are true shepherds and those that are hirelings. The Bible distinguishes between the sons of God and those that are bastards. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And if we go to Hebrews chapter 12, we read this, starting with verse 5 to verse 8. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Well, the Bible always exhorts us to do good and chastens us for doing evil. Even though the internet can help in many ways, folks, it's used more for evil than for good. When he's talking about this here, when he says, in whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Now, but if you be without chastisement, then think about this. People asked, why does God allow the wicked to go? In fact, over in Malachi, when they were telling God, those not too smart priests, we've got to figure it out, God. You know, you're saying one thing, how you love the poor and the downtrodden, but we see you're rewarding the wicked. We're seeing the wicked, they prosper. We get it. We're hip. Now, that wasn't a smart thing to tell God that he's a hypocrite. Not a smart thing. God didn't like what he was hearing there at all. And so here today, when Jesus was asked, the Bible says that God allows the wicked a little pleasure for a short season. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Look at how wicked George Soros is and how long he's been around, and look at Joe Biden. Well, you know, folks, George Soros' lifespan is like a vapor that appeareth for an instant and then is gone according to eternity. And that's what he's referring to. And so God allows the wicked a little pleasure for a short season because that's as good as it's going to get to them. It's as good as it's going to get. When you have these prosperity preachers saying that live the good life now, go for it right now. Don't wait. Don't worry about placing up crowns in heaven. Don't worry about that. Go for it with a gusto. Get what you can now. Like T.D. Jakes says, I want my stuff now. I don't want to wait to get to heaven. could it be that these folks don't really think that they're going to get to heaven, right? And I can understand why. And so here, if you're an actual Christian, if you're saved, and you live in a manner which, a manner that brings disrespect to the Lord, then the Lord will take you out. If you're an actual Christian and you live in a manner which dishonors God, first of all, you grieve the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is going to deal with you. But he'll take you out. Remember Ananias and Sapphira when they went before Peter? And Peter said, "Why did you lie? Why did you do that?" He took them out, both of them. And so God will chastise you. He either make you very sick, or he'll, one way or the other, he'll chastise you. And sometimes he'll cut you off or take you home. He'll take you home for your own good so that you won't continue to lose your rewards in heaven. But he'll take you home for the reason that you can no longer continue to disrespect and dishonor, bring dishonor upon God by professing to be a Christian and then living like a Democrat. And so here he says, if you endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? So, in fact, in the internet, we see that it's often used much more for evil than good. But God's word is always used to exhort us to do good. And again, the Bible defines what is good and what is evil. The internet, well, makes no distinctions. It makes no such distinctions at all. I want to go now here. Well, the Bible actually provides the only perfectly accurate historical account of the past from the very beginning to the present, and lets us get a glimpse of what we need to know about the future. As I said before, the internet has no intrinsic value. It can be used for good. And I know it's necessary. A lot of people have to use it to do their job. But the question is, do you spend more time and more effort? Are you learning more from the internet than you're from the Word of God? So we know it's necessary for many jobs and professions. But the internet is also very sneaky, folks. Very sneaky and sly. While you monitor the internet, it monitors you. How many times have you go into a shopping mall or someplace, and boom, on your phone it'll pop up and tell you that this store has this or this store has this there where you're at. They're telling you, look, we know exactly where you're at. I actually had, we were doing a Bible study, and I had my cell phone sitting out on the table, and in the Bible study, it must have made a sound. It must have, like, Siri, because she piped up to answer the question. And everybody was just looking at each other. Here, she's telling you, I'm listening to every word I say. When you're on the telephone, you are not having any private conversations. Don't ever think you're having a private conversation, because you're not. While you monitor the internet, it monitors you. Again, most people have no clue to the amount of personal information that they surrender to unseen forces every single time they go up on that internet. You are unaware of the process used by unseen forces to very subtly, very, very subtly influence your behavior and your daily activities. You might not even understand it, but it does. You see, it builds a profile. It builds a profile of you, and it's been doing that. I know that right now this radio program is being monitored. I've had to deal with this for a long time. People try to bug our operations. They try to take us down. But here, its ultimate goal, folks, and again, I understand the days that we're living in. I'm not telling you out there that you're a sinner because you're on the internet. My question to you, though, is where are you learning the most? What is affecting your life the most? God's word, the ultimate intelligence, the ultimate information, or the internet? Which one has the greater influence on you? No, you can answer that. No, the only chance, see, the Bible warns us to try to understand. The only chance that you have of avoiding a fall into that burning lake of fire, folks, which is the ultimate torment, is a true salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation comes the only one way to the Father, and that's through the Lord Jesus, not through the internet. I want to go now over to 1 Corinthians 13. And in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm at 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 5. This is the third time I am coming to you, and every word to be established. I told you before, and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which hereafter have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you, word, is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourself, and this is the key verse right here. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Paul here reminds the Corinthians and us that it's quite possible for a man or a woman to profess Christ and salvation and yet still be unsaved. They may even deceive themselves into thinking such a profession has saved them. Therefore, we need to examine ourselves to prove ourselves. The sure proof is the realization that Christ is indwelling in us by the Holy Spirit, resulting in godly lives of glad acceptance of all revealed word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Look, if you say, well, I know I'm saved, you make a profession. Do you have a burning desire to serve God? Is your desire in you? Do you have that fire in your belly to serve the Lord? Is there the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you have that urge that you want to serve God? Folks, if it's not there, well, you need to go get on your knees. You need to repent and pray to God and ask Him to give you that peace that passes all understanding, that blessed assurance of salvation. You know, simply professing to others that you are saved doesn't make it so at all. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, many are called, but very few are chosen. I can tell you this, the internet can't save you. The internet certainly can't save you. Salvation cometh when you hear the gospel of your salvation. That comes right from God's word, the Bible. Here. When he says here, how that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobate. A reprobate is one that's failed a proof test. If it does behoove anyone who is doubting and disobeying God's word to carefully examine the reality of the professed conversion to Christ. Every profession Christian needs to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I remember many, many years ago, it was a long time ago, when I first went into the military, they were asking for our dog tags. They were making our dog tags, they asked you what religion you are and what blood type, your religion. And these two young guys standing next to me, they said, well, we were born in America, so we must be Christians. And I'm thinking to myself, apparently these guys never read the Bible at all, okay? And so, here, I want to go over now to 2 Peter chapter 1. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life in godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Well, he's saying here that now his strength of character drew men to the Lord Jesus. Here, verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Did you know that in the Bible you have 3,800 promises? The very first being in Genesis 3:15, called the Evangelium. The Evangelium is where it talks about the seed of the woman will be at war with the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, which is us, which is Christians today. And then it goes on to say, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue to knowledge. Here, he gives seven attributes to be added to our faith. And knowledge to temperance, and to temperance, patience, and patience to godliness, and godliness to brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness to charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you should never fall. Okay, again, there is nothing. The time will come, and this is an absolute, folks, that nothing at all will matter to you except for your standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's no in-between. There's no, well, I think I'm 60% saved or 70% saved. No, you're either saved or you're lost. It's like being dead or alive, or pregnant or not. You either are or you're not. And believe me, there's nothing that will matter to you as much as finding out whether or not, well, you need to be saved to making your salvation sure. Now, here, I want to go over to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I just want to read two verses. But first, I got to wet my whistle again. It's that time. Verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Vain babblings, folks. What are some of the vain babblings that you have out there? Well, no one knows what a woman is. No one knows what a woman is. Men can give birth. Folks, the AMA said that they weren't going to put the gender, male or female, anymore on birth certificates because they weren't sure that there were two genders. Are you kidding me? No. These are vain babblings. Vain babblings. What about climate change? Folks, is climate change science? Not at all. It's a cult out there. It's a scam. It's that guy, Al Gore, that invented the internet. That never happened either. Okay. But it's a scam. There is no such thing as climate change. So here, what about the mother of all hoaxes? And that's the teaching of evolution. Folks, the teaching of evolution. There has never, is not now, never has been, never will be a creation that didn't have a creator. Everything didn't come into existence by itself. That even Darwin himself even made the statement that if there's anything that disproves his theories, and by the way, he said he was amazed how quick some people were to take the theories of a young scientist and make a religion out of it. Folks, evolution is not science. It's fantasy. What about Dr. Fauci and Joe Obama Biden? Follow the science. Follow the science, right? So what did the science give you? Well, you huddle in place. Huddle in place, right? In other words, if you have the COVID, you go home and you go inside and with your family and you huddle in place. You don't go out. So what do? You give your whole family, you spread it on to them. And by the way, that was, again, created in a lab, that plague. What about the social distancing, 6 feet? Somehow, the viruses know that they come short. They can't spread past 6 feet. That's a total hoax, too. Remember Fauci said, wear the mask, follow the science? Then he says, you don't need a mask, don't wear the mask. And then he says, no, you need two masks, okay? Follow the science. What about this fossil fuel thing? What about this? Geologists will tell you there's no such thing as fossil fuels. There is no such thing. The Earth itself creates oil and gas. Not piles and piles of dead dinosaurs, folks. And so I'm going to stop right here because we're out of time. But what we said tonight is to make your salvation sure. The most important thing to any of you is to make your salvation sure. And how do you do that? Well, it's not that difficult. The Lord Jesus, first of all, remember what he did for you. He took your place upon that cross, folks. And what you have to do is you have to acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, and if you died tonight in your sin, you'd spend eternity in hell. But God has made it. He's given you a get-out-of-hell-free card. The Lord Jesus did all the work. But here's what you must do. You must go and pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sin. Then you've got to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask him to be Lord of your life, all of your life. Now, he means all of your life. You got to put him first in everything, folks. He says you got to put him first before mother and father, brother and sister, before yourself. And if you do that, they will honor that commitment. And you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And you will be on your road to eternal life. And you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what God has said. Do you understand? This is what God has said. So remember the next time you're on the internet that the gospel of your salvation cannot be found. It's not going to be. Well, I guess you might be able to find that on the internet, the Bible. But salvation comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to the Father is through the Son. And again, tonight, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, well, you just heard the message, and I'm just a messenger. You have to understand, whenever you hear the preacher give an invitation, he's just a messenger. That message is coming from on high. Now, you may get another opportunity. You may say, well, I'm not quite ready. I'm not ready yet. I don't want to become a goody two-shoes. I want to wait and party some. Well, you may not have 5 minutes. You may not have another day. So when the Lord is telling you that, take it seriously, folks, because he does. And if your soul is required of you this very night, you better be ready. Or wish you had been. We're out of time for tonight. So, as I always say, good night, God bless, and always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.